Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand and you're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Hey, this is Nick Stahl, and you're listening to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Cool.
Hey survivors, welcome to episode 99 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
Yay! Wow.
It's us.
We're pushing the 100 mark.
Yes, almost to the century mark.
Yep. We'll have to think of what we're going to do, so listeners, definitely pay attention to the Facebook page. That we will be working on something for the 100th, because we're not going to wait until season 8, because who knows when that's going to be. So we will be covering Fear the Walking Dead season 7, episode 16, titled Gone. But first, we have some feedback about our last podcast, Fear the Walking Dead season 7, episode 15, titled Mina. And of course, you know, as we always get our feedback from Erin from the internet about her thoughts of after the podcast, and she posted this on the blog post.
The feedback on our feedback.
Basically. But we love it, Erin. So she said about last week's episode, the photo this week is Alicia waving bye to her friends, but also inside super excited to be free of all this. Ha ha ha. Yeah. That picture was kind of when I, because here's the thing though, it's like, you used to be able to screenshot like Google Chrome or any browser. And I basically, I watch my stuff on YouTube TV, but for some reason they've changed it. And so now you can't do screenshots like I used to, and it just comes out black. So they've done the little copy protection or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like finding the blog post pictures becomes kind of a chore, because it's either I'm using my camera on my phone off my computer screen to take the picture, or I'm just doing a search on the, you know, online and just trying to find, you know, a picture that's out there. But the one that was Alicia basically waving goodbye, that's, I figured it was fitting for basically that whole entire episode. She says, I look for the ratings to fall even harder without Alicia there, because some fans only came for Alicia Dedman McCary. If they hadn't confirmed she was gone, they might have stayed to see her return, but saying she's done outside of some epic return in the series finale to maybe work with Kim again has just assured every, even more ratings to go. I don't think that, even anyone cares at this point, given next season is supposed to be the last. So maybe that's why they agreed to let Alicia go now. It doesn't matter if she stayed, and they knew even if she did, she'd be gone next. So they're going to lose her at some point. It's sad to see her go for sure. And I wish I was able to walk away too, but they brought back Madison. So now I have to continue the suffering. At least it's edits, as I'll only be watching for her. Well, obviously this is what came last week. So we do have this week. So Erin, definitely, we have a lot of her comments to come, which very interested to hear. So she goes on, she says, on to the podcast. And this is a quote. She's like, I guess she picked it up on her last walkie talkie battery run at the nearest Bills. LOL. Strand was extremely out of character this episode beyond the end, talking to Alicia. She says, not tying the boats together is how you thin the cast out next season. Ha ha. And then, quote, it's I would say so, is Alicia, in quote. It's like, at least Alicia has a decency to faint every 10 minutes, LT. That's how you know she's sick. Charlie just got a bad sunburn the way they're acting. Yeah, Charlie did have a lot of red paint basically on her. She goes on, she said, again, I'd rather they almost just kill off Alicia because short of Coleman and Kim asking her to come back for a reunion, and we see them at the end of the series, which they all helped start, she's not coming back and we aren't getting Alicia Madison time, so leave it vague. It's not like they cared about Alicia, because if they did, then she would be leading and staying on the show, so it's a moot point. This is trying to keep her fans around in case she comes back, but the news she's not coming back is still, or coming back so still, it's lost ratings for those who watched just for her. It's annoying more than we hope she comes back, or yeah, it's sad she died. The end to have some resolution to them, and you can hate it, but at least have some peace maybe. This is literally the visual verso of Kyle's favorite line. Well, I guess we'll see. Given Alicia time would take time from Morgan moaning about things, and they don't like that. I agree with you, Kyle. The season could have been better, but I guess the question is if they even cared about quality anymore at all. So they're just going to do what they want with the, which is throw something up and call it a day story-wise. The writing has been questionable ever since they avoided the dam and David Erickson left. This is not quite as bad as 4B, but it is boring as it, I would say. Again, if they just take Alicia, if they just let Alicia take Madison's spot, but did things her way versus embracing violence, then the series would have been better post Kim leaving, because we'd have emotional connections to Alicia versus Strand instead of Alicia being more than not to where, when they do meet, it feels like hollow dialogue instead of, them in character. She goes on, or she said, quote, Morgan is still around. He's going to keep going. acting has never been the issue with this series. And the sad sauce is for the viewers. Pour one out for the viewers. Facts, Dieta. You know, Glynis, I'm fine with this being in Alicia's head as she dies, and she actually died on the tower because Strand couldn't get to her because fire in the roof. It's arguably better than what we got, because at least that is a solid end for her. She gives one more message of hope to people and then dies. Yes, the building is on fire, but just ignore that. The writers ignored logic, so it's only fair. I'll even take the gunshot to the zombie is Alicia killing herself, and they bypass the suicide on screen so she doesn't become one... she doesn't become one, because that makes more sense than what we actually visually saw. And the podcast is the best part of the show. She says her schedule didn't allow it. She just didn't want to be on. She's that done with the series. And Alicia was guaranteed a spot at cons during her 100th run. And there will be feedback next week. It might be all bad, but it will happen. Or I guess it might not be all bad, but it will happen.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Aaron. I know. Stick with us. We shall see.
Yep. And we also got some feedback from Mike from Asheville, who says, first of all, you guys are not alone. We are still watching, then listening to your cast. This was not a good episode. As with the season, and you guys touched upon this, the writing is just bad, which is sad and mind-boggling. Fear the Walking Dead writers have an entire world created for them and episodes to look at for guidance from the mother show. Every spinoff for this world has cliff notes. Overall, this show hasn't been bad in previous seasons. This season, though, had just gone right down. An entire storyline about a war that never happens. Strand is a bad guy, tries to kill Morgan, kills countless other people for no reason. Alicia's mad. Strand only wants Alicia. Alicia talks to him. Strand is good now. Ignore all the murders by him. My 10-year-old could write a better, more believable story. As for this episode, not only was it confusing, but also frustrating. You guys talked about Alicia being sick and weak, yet the others kept letting her just go off. After the first time of this, I was sick with it. I very much took it as Alicia died at the end. Nothing they say will change my mind on that. She's a walker now, enjoying the beach. All right, I just watched the finale. Off to leave feedback on that interesting episode.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah. It just...
yeah.
You know, previous seasons had their issues, but they were still, like, there was still... an interesting plot and story. You know, they had trouble with, like, you know, making, because they were doing those kind of like the same thing we kind of got this season,
yep.
You know, the little bottle episodes where we were just getting focuses on one character, but the overall Ginny story, like, actually was coming out into fruition, and yeah. You know, there was still some interesting stuff going on. This was just kind of like, yeah, it was what it was.
And see, what's so bad about it is, as much as we bagged on Ginny then, I would take Ginny now.
Oh gosh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So I mean, it's just one of them things, man.
Yeah, and that's, well, I will get into it because I think some of my feedback, actually, it's, all of our listeners, all our feedbacks, I thought was kind of interesting how everybody kind of took this episode.
Yep.
So with that, let's go into Fear the Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 16, the Season 7 finale titled Gone, written by Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg and directed by Sharat Raju. And the description from AMC Plus is, Morgan finds a new ally who turns out to be more trouble than he bargained for. It's kind of funny. All right, on to our ratings. I actually forgot to even like put mine in there because I was doing all the other kind of like trying to get my comments and do the rewatch. But, you know, actually, the first time I watched it, like last week, you know, because I had AMC Plus, I kind of was like, oh my gosh, this is just ridiculous. I don't know. I think I was still kind of having a hangover from Alicia leaving and just that whole fiasco. But after doing my rewatch and then also seeing, you know, some of our listeners' comments, stuff like that, you know, it kind of made me take a seat back. So I'm going to give it a 7. And I mean, I guess 7 vines are dangerous. Cause like, I don't understand how that vine like ripped that girl's side, or Aja's like side, so bad. It's like, or Ava's side. So I'll just put it at that. I didn't really give it much thought. So
I was going to say, you need to come help me clear the bank in my yard.
I mean, I don't know. It was kind of like when she fell, I saw her fall and then the walker was kind of coming after her or whatever. But it would just seem
I will say that as badly torn up as you can get from the briar vines around here, it made me think there was some barbed wire in there.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I took it. I was just like, I was surprised.
She had a gash.
Gash, yeah. Yep, no, it was. And I was kind of like, wait, huh?
Well, I mean, come on, Kyle. We've been what, huh? This entire season.
Right. I know. What, huh? I guess I should just stop trying to act like I'm not surprised.
Yep.
All right. What'd you get it?
Well, I gave it a 6 out of 10. It's really graham cracker crumbs, not sand. That was probably the most interesting revelation I got out of watching Talking Dead. Mm-hmm. Was that it's not really sand that they have piled around the actors' necks. It's a combination of, they said, Chex Mix and graham cracker crumbs. And Lenny James said he wanted to eat it.
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, if you're having to be
buried in it for hours at a time.
Yeah, I'd rather have graham crackers than actual sand.
Yeah. Well, Kim Dickens actually explained how they did the burying in the sand shots, and I'm going, it's pretty brutal.
Cool. All right, well, let's go into our listeners' ratings then. And first comes from Glennis from Toronto, and she gave it an 8 out of 10, The Marvelous Miss Madison.
Wow. And Emma from the UK gave it an 8 out of 10. Okay, that's more like it.
Getting some positive ratings there. All right, Mike from Asheville gave it an 8 out of 10. I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere. Or Tales from the Crypt.
Sand. I don't like sand. And finally, we have Aaron from the internet, who gives it a 2 out of 5, only for Madison, and it's low because she wasn't fully the Madison we knew. If she got that much smoke in her lungs, she'd be dead, and again, she wouldn't have missed the beach.
All right. Well, thank you all for your ratings. So that takes us into our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
All right. Our first awesome sauce comes from Glennis from Toronto. And she says, Madison is back with a bigger hammer that helps with the 360 Walker kill. Watch out, all Troy lookalikes. I was also debating with myself to call this episode, If I Had a Hammer. Smiley face.
And Mike from Asheville says, Madison, never thought I would say this, but having her back was nice. I felt a new energy. We will see if it lasts, but it's a good start. He goes on to say, the writers found a fun way to remove Mo from the picture. And he finishes up by saying, Walker heads in the sand. Those were cool, but also visually pleasing.
Yep. Yeah, I did like how there, you know, it wasn't just like a couple, it was like a lot. And so that really made for a very kind of stark, like, oh, wow, this is just a whole beach full of like buried Walker heads. Emma from the UK gives her awesome sauces the opening sequence of Madison talking to Padre. Actually quite enjoyed Grace's singing and Madison's back. And stealing kids. Well, that's something new. Buried in the sand, walkers are cool and also new. And Madison's new weapon, the hammer. Ava tricking Madison and Morgan, though she'd been convinced about Padre a bit quick. Yeah.
And finally, Aaron from the internet, who says, Madison saving herself on the beach because Morgan sure wasn't helping her because seeing the girl. Again, this is why he's more trouble than he's ever been worth on this series.
I actually thought the same thing. Like when I was watching it, I just remember saying, like, of course Madison's going to save herself. Like, Morgan is not doing it. Morgan's going to get saved by Madison because that's what Madison does. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your awesome sauce. There were some good ones in there because, you know, it's obviously Madison at this point. So that kind of goes into my awesome sauce. And I was putting it in here because I thought it was good and not necessarily awesome. But I just liked how they showed Madison. Like, at first wanted to, this was through all of her little flashbacks with the Padre people, like, as we were getting more of her story of, like, she obviously, like, I'm assuming, you know, she got picked up and then kind of, not necessarily in prison, but, you know, just, like, they got a hold of her and kind of are forcing her to do stuff. But that was, like, I liked how, like, Madison first wanted to find Alicia and Nick. And so they were like saying, like, we'll help you if you do this task for us.
Right.
But then it was later after her collecting so many kids that they finally did say, okay, you've done good. Yeah, we will help you find your kids. And then she turned around and said, no.
Right.
And then that playing into the whole Morgan and her, just like their kind of whole back and forth once she, you know, Morgan basically let her know that her kids are dead, that like she did what she did because she thought that they would be in danger by the Padre people. And so she kept working for them to kind of keep them from going after them. But then realizing after now that they're dead, that they can't go and use Nick and Alicia against her.
Right.
Then it was like just that whole finding out about like, you know, like, so basically now she has nothing that Padre is holding anything over her. So we can, like, this is kind of where we see, or I'm seeing where they wanted to go with the show, maybe. It's like, now Madison has been unleashed and she can rain hell down on them, like the Madison that we know. So I enjoyed kind of, because Madison, her character, like this Kim Dickens or this episode, seeing Madison again, it was the old Madison a lot, you know. This is it definitely the way she was interacting with Morgan, kind of like, you know, doing her little side swipes of just all like being kind of, you know, pushy and just like, no, it's like, I don't know, it was just her tone with Morgan was kind of fun, but it was still very, very Madison Clark. And I kind of like, okay, if this is where we're going, it kind of gave me an inkling of like, you know, next season might be interesting. But, you know, again, it's like, is this, you know, is this a Madison show or is this a Morgan show? You know, that's kind of where I don't know what they're going to do with it, because, you know, Madison is Madison. We know the stuff that she's done that right. is brutal, you know, that like, is this what we're going to get? So we'll just have to see. But this made me kind of a little bit more excited with what I saw.
Right.
Well, that's all I had for my awesomes. Do you have anything?
Well, I kind of like the idea that Morgan had of using the raft as a tree tent. I'm going to complain about it more later, but there's actually a company that makes a hiking tent that you can string between trees like that, so that as opposed to sleeping on the ground and having to put your food up in a, you know, a bear bag, you can actually raise your whole tent up off the ground. And I thought it was a pretty nifty idea. Now, granted, there are some logistical issues that we're going to get into later. I thought it was nice that we finally, after how many episodes we've been talking about Padre, that we actually get a little more info about Padre, a few better hints, maybe some direction on where it's at and what it is and what's going on. So that was a plus. I enjoyed seeing Madison and Morgan together, that at least it's somebody different that you knew about, and it was some, you know, a different person for him to interact with, and the action sequences weren't bad. So like I said, it wasn't bad from the standpoint of seeing, you know, Kim Dickens and Lenny James working together. Yeah, that's about all I got for positives.
All right. I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are on some of the tents and some of other issues that I think other people kind of bring up. Actually, we're going to get into some of those in the weak sauce. All right, so let's get into the weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. First is Emma from the UK. And so she says her weak sauce is Morgan was up a tree, but when he opened the zip, the man was right outside? ! And then she says the posse was right outside the door of the crypt whilst they were talking inside and then just went away as if they couldn't find them.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tree thing, it was like I saw your comment, Emma, before I did my rewatch. And so when that scene came up, and I think Glennis or like some other people also like say stuff too, it was like, it just was confusing because in the beginning we see his tent is high enough that the walkers can't get to him. But then this, it's like the guy's like, peekaboo, you know, and he's like right there. So it's like this guy, yeah, it just was really confusing.
Did they have a ladder?
Right. Or did the tent slowly like shimmy down the trees or something and get lower?
Did he have a set of pole climbing gaffs in his back pocket so he could go up the tree?
Yeah, I guess that never know.
You know, were one of the bad guys secretly a lumberjack before the apocalypse?
Yeah. Or a lineman or something.
Yep.
All right, next.
We've got feedback from Glennis from Toronto, who says, that lifeboat being strung up in the tree looked precarious, and that child Avenger managed to knock out Morgan when he unzipped the flap. What? Was the attacker wearing stilts in order to be able to reach inside and clock Morgan over the head?
Right. Okay. I must have saw Glennis's comment too when I did my rewatch, because that's exactly right. Like, it just, goodness. Little details. All right. Well, Mike from Asheville is next, and he said, how did Madison get away from Morgan after taking Mo? He didn't catch up to her till after depositing the baby and looking for more oxygen. The Morgan I know would have been tailing her right from the start.
Yeah.
Yep. Again, details.
And we've got feedback from Aaron from the internet who said, how did she die? Alicia died from crap out of character writing, Madison. Angry face.
Oh, but you know they're not going to say that. Thank you, Aaron. All right. Well, that leads us into our weak sauce. And I just to go back and say, I agree with everybody about that, you know, the lifeboat and all that kind of stuff was weird. And also, yeah, Mike, you're right. Like, Morgan, like, that baby was everything. So I don't think he would be giving up that fast, you know, like, to just, like, not somehow sneak around, do something to be, like, trying to, you know, catch her like that, you know? So that just, yeah, it was weak. Just letting Madison have her moment with the baby and put it in the little boat or whatever it was. Another thing, though, I saw... You want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, real good on you there, Morgan. You let a woman with one lung outrun you.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, just... It was, it's,
I mean,
plot.
What was he doing? Was he sitting in the hole counting to 100 because, you know, it was that game of tag? You got to count before you come out of the hole?
Well, right. And so, like, she shot at him, which, yeah, I'd be like, oh, I don't want to get shot. But then once she was gone far enough away and you're on a beach, like, you think that he would still be able to, like, kind of flank her and, like, keep an eye on her.
Well, and it's a beach.
Right.
Full of sand that leaves footprints that are sort of easy to follow.
Maybe Morgan's not a tracker.
I mean, for the love of God, it's not like you're going, the sand people travel in line so you can't tell their numbers. No, there's just one of her. Just follow the freaking footprints, Morgan.
Mm. Oh, goodness. It's just plot convenience, I guess. Well, then on that thing, too, though, it's like, so I noticed when Morgan was fighting with Madison, like, it was the weirdest thing. Like, so in that one shot, she takes a swipe at him. He, you know, like, gets out of the way or whatever, then grabs her, like, flips her around. But then he immediately grabs her wrists and, like, pulls her. Like, scarf or sleeve down or whatever. And it was just all like, wait, yeah. Like, how do you even know to even do that? Like, you had no reason to be doing that and to be looking for it.
You don't.
Right. And so it was like, it just was like, so like, you so purposely spun around and then you like immediately grab her wrist and like pull it open to like look, oh, there's something under there, there's got to be. You know, so I don't know, it was I just it kind of irked me a bit because it was just like, okay, I get that they have to meet and they'll eventually find out, you know, like, oh, this is Alicia and Nick's Madison, but it was just,
and they were running out, and they're running out of time in the episode, so they've got to do something to make it have,
yeah,
their aha moment.
Yeah, and it was, to me, it was just poorly, poorly done. Then my other weak sauce is Padre. It's nice, like you said, that we're actually finally getting something about Padre. But then my question is, wouldn't they have known all this if they just checked and opened the Padre book that had been in the bunker this whole entire time? Like,
one would think so.
Right. Like, this Padre thing would not be such a mystery if you actually opened the freaking dossier that had been sitting there in your possession forever and ever and ever. Or you, like,
Kyle,
fine.
Just, it's the government. They wrote it down. There's probably a map in there.
Right. There's probably something about, like, hey, what's their, you know, what's their side of, like, how, like, procedures of like, oh, this is what we're going to do to like save the human race. But I mean, I get that the whole baby stealing thing might be a new thing, but it's like you would have known more than just being like, oh, Padre's a place we can totally stay. No, it could have been right there on the next page saying, steal babies, kill parents. Anyways, that's all I had for my weak sauce at this point.
Well, I've got some, I'm sort of actually split mine up this time. I actually have some whats. But for weak sauce, I'm going to start off and say, so Morgan, where's the duffel bag full of guns? Now, by the walkers that come trundling out of the surf, I'm going to assume that those were the guys that Morgan was with there when Madison left, or when they put Madison in the bag. And they all showed up dead, and I'm assuming that Morgan's the one that, you know, killed them. So where's all their stuff? Once again, they had guns and knives, and it looked like all their guns and knives were gone. So where are they at, Morgan?
Mm-hmm. Was this
if you took the time to kill all of them, you just have taken their stuff. I mean, it's a rule.
Yeah. No, that's like the thing you always say. It's just all like, oh, hey, you search the body and like grab supplies and you take everything and then sort it out later.
Yes. Like you do. And about our little crew of baby stolen folks, they are possibly the worst victims ever, because I'm kind of going, why would you think that Morgan had stolen the baby? And I'm just going to say all of them were white folks, I believe, weren't they?
That we know of, yeah.
And Morgan is not. You know, Morgan is a genuinely black gentleman, and Mo is a genuinely black baby. So would it not? I guess I'm going, okay, why do we think Mo's stolen other than the fact somebody's stealing everybody else's babies? I was just going, okay, just because you see a guy with a kid and that he's genuinely concerned, and you could tell because Morgan was not just like, take the kid, I don't care.
Right.
You know, you would think that if somebody was a professional baby thief, they wouldn't be so invested in it. And I've got to say some weak sauce of poor old baby Mo. You half starve her on the raft, and then you put her in a crib, you know, at the boat dock, and she finally gets, you know, one partial square meal before the Padre people shuffle her off to God knows where. I'm like, come on, give little screaming Mo a shake there. You know, give her a fair chance at things.
Never shake a baby.
It's like, no, don't shake the baby.
Oh.
Well, thanks, Kyle. If we go back to Morgan's tree tent raft thing, it wasn't so much that he ended up on the ground. Now, I still have a question about how the guy got there. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I sort of questioned was the fact of, if you're going to do that, have a little light discipline, because you're up in the tree, you're in a thin nylon tenty thing, and you've got a big bright light inside of it, which is going to illuminate the tent. And so basically you've created yourself a nice big freaking beacon. And I'm just like, no, this is bad. You know, the first thing they teach you is, you know, light discipline.
Yeah.
You know, there used to be a buddy of mine who, even though he had been out of the Marines for years and years and years, he still lit his cigarettes the way that he did when he was in the Corps, is that you cup your hand over it when you light it so you don't see the exposed flame, because that light travels. It's the reason that you have either a blue or a red filter on your flashlight so the light doesn't travel. But no, Morgan's on top of a tree with his big freaking red raft and his big bright light, so that if he was trying to stay out of the way and not be found, he's making it that much harder for him to not be found.
Yeah, yeah.
And about the raft, I've got to say, this is back to my favorite old trope of the show, is, so Baby Mo needed food, Morgan needed food. Kyle, remind me for a moment, where was the food?
The food, it was...
on the submarine.
Oh, that's right. They had, yeah.
So since they hauled ass out of the submarine, obviously, what's one thing they didn't take with them?
Yes.
The food. Formula. Because it's always, if we have a car that works, it's got to break down because we've got to walk. And if we have something and we have a pretty decent supply of it at some point, we've got to divest ourselves of it so that we're back to scavenging. And of course, it always goes back to, this is why we can't have nice things.
Thanks. I thought it was fitting that, of course, this episode is reflecting the baby shortage formula, or the baby formula shortage that we're yep. currently having.
Which, and they actually filmed this months ago.
Right. Don't want to give them any props for that, but...
Well, it's just funny how that worked out.
Yeah.
I think the last bit of weak sauce I'm going to throw out is, you know, at this point in the apocalypse, she still had a fairly put together, fairly tidy, fairly well-equipped house. You know, the girl with the crypt. It just seemed like that all the other houses we've been into have been kind of run down, but... yeah, still had pictures on the shelf, still had intact windows, still had doors that worked with glass in them. And I'm going, obviously there's not many walkers in your neighborhood. Obviously there's not too many people other than people who have stolen babies afoot either.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just kind of struck me that I was like, wow, it's a big house. Wow, it's yeah. still pretty tidy. I was like, that's not weird at all. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Not this time. Like, that's, it's just the whole, you just bring up good points of like where they lack it on the show, which I think we've come to a point now where it's like, you know, we just kind of gave up to be like, oh, if you're going to, like, you're not going to follow any kind of like, oh, we're trying to make this as like realistic as possible, because you're correct about the light discipline, because we've seen our whole life during the main show that it's like, you don't light fires because that attracts walkers. You don't shoot guns because the sound will attract walkers. You know, it's like you do these things because you're not going to make yourself a target or, yeah. you know, for other survivors who are scavenging, trying to find you and kill you. And it's just like, oh, but, I've got to have
yeah.
nighttime with Baby Mo.
Yeah. And it was before him. So.
Right.
Don't turn on the lights at the hotel.
Yeah, right.
Why do you have a big shiny beacon on top of your tower? You know, it's like, I just don't know, man. Because it's like, yeah. he's got all this light. He's got all this stuff. He's doing all these things, even though he's up off the ground. It doesn't mean that he's not going to attract someone or right. someone's.
Right. And that would be always the back of your mind to be like, okay, no. Like, you got to make sure to protect yourself, especially you're protecting Mo. I just have to say about I think we're getting accustomed to the fact that, oh yeah, it's like these people have these unmolested houses. Like, she mentions that she like grew up there, was born there, whatever. So that's yeah. like her prop. So that's her property. Okay. Get it. You know, it was a big gate. So maybe it's partly gated, you know, it's like a ranch or something like that, because she didn't, it has a crypt.
A big gate that everybody that came in left open.
Right. Well, but then she had a crypt, and then she even says like, oh, if they're at the house, the posse, whenever they were on the hiding from them. It's like, oh, but if they're still at the house, it'll take them hours to like find us. But then later, they're like, oh my gosh, there's like 40 walkers outside. So yeah, you're like, okay, so this whole entire time, 7 years or whatever, that you've never had an issue of like walkers coming up to your house and basically they would find their way in or destroy something and knock a door down. So yeah, that's
kind of my point, is that at this point, how does she have, you know, doors on the hinges that still have decorative glass inserts and, you know,
right.
I don't know.
No,
man.
I know. Yeah. Just,
we've already said it so many times when we bring up our sponsor, Bill Store, that obviously when you're out trudging around looking for supplies, obviously you just haven't looked hard enough because there's all these nice houses that are still fully intact.
Yes. And, and have supplies or,
and have stuff. Yeah. And that's where I'm going. So where were these houses when we needed them?
Right.
And the answer is exactly.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. Well, if that was it for the week, let's go on to the what.
What?
First comes from Emma from the UK, and it's another Morgan Raft. So she says, so Morgan got the raft up a tree by himself. Really? And then she says, I hardly need to say it, but the batteries in the Walkman were still going, ! Oh, yes. Yep.
That bunny is going overtime. Well, remember, they did kill off a set of batteries.
But they still had...
Oh, these are obviously the replacements.
Yeah. Yeah. And they got plenty of those because, you know, they always check out bills.
No, they only need two because the batteries will last until they need them not to.
They are recharged by the plot.
Yep. And it's time for Aaron from the internet, who says, why is Morgan taking the bag off the beach zombie? What did he think was under there? Ugh, this guy is so annoying to me. And she says, what is it with everyone suddenly getting pregnant on this series? This is one of the last times you'd want to be that. I get it. They're on a baby kick because of Mo, but I'm over that kid too. I wish we would go back to old Fear, but that will never happen because they ended that chance last week. Sad face. Wait. So how did Padre members find Madison exactly? Why would they search a fuming stadium for someone? This is once again a case of hand wave away the content we want to know about in the name of some plot that we could care less about at this point. Sigh.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll get any info about how Madison got into Padre's hands. I'm assuming, which of course is probably dangerous because, you know, at this point, everything is wrong. But she probably somehow escaped the fire, then, you know, wandered out for however far, you know, to,
yep,
trying to find help or, like, you know, whatever, and then came across some group that was just out scavenging it and then somehow got brought in. But again, you have to also think about, like, it's been how many years since the stadium burned to, like, where she is stealing babies? You know, like, was she out there this whole time? You know, like, just wandering around, meeting people, this and that? Or was she captured almost immediately and then, you know, they just kind of locked her up or something like that? I don't know. That's for us to have to wait and see if
right.
they reveal any of that.
We don't know.
I mean, I hope we get something because, you know, it's be a very interesting story. We want to know where she's been.
Yep. Okay, Mike from Asheville says, pulling a shotgun out of a crypt and expecting it to work. I don't know guns, but I do know dust and dirt will clog them and make them difficult to fire. Actually, Mike, I'm going to talk about that. The problem is not the dust and dirt. He goes on to say, Madison didn't want to find her kids in order to protect them. Are Padre's people going to follow her if she leaves Louisiana? How long has it been since she was gone? How did she get to Louisiana? Why are you still wearing a leather jacket? It's hot outside.
I think I remember texting you last week when I was watching this episode, being like, hey, LT, like, you're going to have to explain this gun. Or it's like, there's a gun. There's something I want you to explain, because
yeah.
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, huh?
Yep.
All right. Well, that was it for our listeners. So that goes into ours.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, this should be the what's awesome. And I should start it, which I already did, and say, hello. So, well, we can do this. We can do this that way. You don't have to do any editing. So, hi everyone. I'm here, and got only finally got done this episode as of a couple minutes ago. And my what sauce right now is the entire episode. So, you know, that's basically. How I interpret this. I honestly, I don't know what to think about this episode right now. Parts I loved, parts I hated, parts I went, that might be interesting next season. The parts that made me think that next season is the Morgan Jones and Madison Clark show and everyone else is gone parts. So anyway, so that's it for my what sauce right now, but I'll probably have more.
Okay. Okay. Well, glad that you're able to join us in the middle of it, which is fine. All right. Well, that was us getting into the what sauce after our listeners. And that was what I was going to bring up before I guess LT, you have some thoughts about it too, was just the gun, because that my first thought was, I don't think that will work or would work.
Well, ironically enough, the gun, unless there's something in the barrel, as long as the mechanism is not rusted, the mechanism would probably work. Depending on how long it had been there, actually, despite the fact that there are, shall we say, fluids in that situation, that would be the only thing that would affect the ammunition, because typically even modern ammunition that you'd think would be sealed up doesn't like being wet for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. The problem that I had with it was, by the appearance of what I saw, it was a pump action shotgun. And it looked to me that the slide was all the way to the rear, which means it didn't have a round of the chamber. The bolt was not locked forward, so it couldn't have fired anyway. And the only reason I say that is that it's a long-barreled, more like a bird-hunting shotgun. And there was too much magazine tube showing for the slide to be forward, in my opinion. So, mechanically was not the issue. It's the fact that even if it was pristine out of the box, it's not going to fire with the slide back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
The only thing about, you know, rustiness and something like that is, there's a friend of mine who has a shotgun in his barn that's been there since his granddad bought it at the hardware store, and it sat in the same spot in his barn for longer than I've been, and it's very, you know, it's a very pretty deep patinaed red now, because it got rusty, so he just poured some motor oil on the metal parts, so it's rusty and oily and whatever else. But we actually shot it, and it actually still works as long as the barrel's still intact and you have rounds that are capable of firing. It shouldn't necessarily be a problem if it's a modern manufactured gun. Now, if it's been underwater for 50 years, then I might have some questions. Or if it was, you know, an antique or something and you put a modern round in it, I would admit that I had a 22 rifle of my own that rode around in the trunk of my old car for a while, and it got kind of fuzzy and red. But I cleaned it back up with some steel wool, and it looks extremely rugged now, but it still functions. So that was not, and when she pointed at him, obviously there was nothing growing in the barrel. It wasn't like full of mud dauber nests or anything. So
right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess
that'll get you more than anything is if there's an obstruction
in it. Well, I mean, that was kind of my thought, because it was just kind of like, okay, well, she said, oh, my granddad or whatever, you know, said he was going to, you know, like, if he didn't get the pearly gates, then he was going to, you know, he had his weapon or something. But it was just, it was my idea was like, well, you don't even know what condition it is that you, like, this is the first time that you're even thinking about, like, oh, yeah, there's a gun in that crypt. Oh, I'll steal the hammer and I'm going to break it and then I'll have access to the gun. And I was just kind of thinking, like, you don't even know what condition that is. You know, like, I would say is like, I put it up as being 50-50. I thought it might just possibly just like blow up in your hand because it was all dirty inside, or, you know, like you said, it was like, you know, a decaying body and, you know, whatever. There could have been like moisture liquid or whatever that could have caused, you know, gummed it up or done something or damaged it. So it was kind of like, I don't know if you can really rely on that to actually be, like, do what you wanted to do. So I don't know. It just seemed very, yeah, it was the shotgun that was in the bowling alley with Ollie. Like, it was just like, yeah. So this whole entire time.
Well, but the shotgun in the bowling alley was at least dry. And
no, right. But it was just the convenience of like, oh, yes, of course there's going to be a gun there that you can just somehow get access to. Yep. And then you're going to be able to use it. And it was just like, oh, of course. Like, I don't know. Like, I always pull guns out of crypts and shoot them. Everyone does that.
You're just not hanging around with the right class of buried people, Kyle.
Well, do you have anything else besides the gun? Because I know you wrote some down.
I do. It's obviously the people at Padre have a really good marketing firm, because suddenly now we have, you know, blatant Padre product placement everywhere we look. Because the notebook on the pier that Madison was logging her stolen bebes in had Padre on the cover. You know, it's like all of a sudden, I'm not surprised, you know, she's writing it with a pen that says Padre on it. You know, they've got Padre snacks and Padre water and Padre notebooks. And, you know, I'm like, we went for a whole freaking season and all we heard were rumors to innuendos and that one freaking folder in the bunker. And now there's Padre everywhere.
Take your child on a zombie free land whatever on our treat. In other words, you get a zombie free vacation at their Padre retreat, and you don't have to pay for it except for your kid.
No, it's Padre Playground. Bring your kids for an exciting new lifetime of potentially hazardous living away from your parents.
Yes. Kids, you know, eat free.
You know, kids, you're tired of dealing with mom and dad. Well, now go deal with some random stranger that sounds like they're talking on an abandoned Wendy's drive-thru speaker. I want to complain about the oxygen bottle for a moment, if I may. Do you know how difficult it is to get to actually be able to whack it with a hammer and get the regulator to pop off to where it goes in a straight line?
Probably impossible almost.
Well, I would say, well, just in case the statute of limitations are not off, if they start leaking before you get it broken all the way off, they tend to spin.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be like the cartoon Ricochet with the bullets, the pew, 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 pew. Is, imagine if you will, a large cylindrical hunk of metal spinning at a very high velocity at shin height. Shenanigans and broken legs will ensue. And the fact that, okay, I've got to say it, and if you don't like it, too bad. Now that Madison is taking a cue from our favorite Dark Lord of the Sith, and she's doing the Darth Vader wheeze, and she's having to have oxygen all the time, didn't seem like she was carrying a whole lot with her on this mission. You know, just like they don't carry a lot of bullets, they don't carry a lot of food, they don't carry a lot of water, but if you're dependent on the fact you need an O2 bottle, I don't think she was packing more than one.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's her tether. Maybe that's how they keep her from going rogue and running off, is they go, okay, you've only got 30 minutes of air. You'll be back.
Yeah.
I just really struggled with that one, especially if it's something that's so bad that you can't really function without it.
Yeah, and we see that she can't, because when she didn't have it and she was fighting Morgan, she was like, you know, getting out of breath, like out of breath. Actually, when she was in the sand, it's like, yeah, it seems like she needs a hit pretty often, or yeah, she'll start gasping.
Well, and I gotta admit, she did a couple of really good times fighting without it, but like I said, man, I'm just struggling with that one.
That one, yeah.
And of course, the next up from that meta issue is, she started off with a backpack, but I guess it was like the diving harness with the regulator with the air pack in it. And then it was gone, and Morgan had it, and then it was gone again. And nobody seems to carry anything with them. And it's still an issue that I've brought up and I've had with both shows, is that if I was going out into the woods and I didn't know how long I was going to be out there, I would carry some stuff with me, not just the pocket clutter that's, you know, in my jacket and in my pants. They're not even carrying gas masks now. You know, at least that was an excuse to have some sort of survival equipment with you. They're not carrying water. They're not carrying extra ammo. They're not carrying, you know, food. They're not carrying maps, compasses. It's like,
they're not in Texas, Rhode Island anymore.
Well, no, they're in Texas, Rhode Island. It's just that they're
in Louisiana, Rhode Island. There was a sign that or something that Morgan picked up that said that he was in Louisiana.
He fell asleep in the boat.
Yeah, or it was a sign that he walked past in the beginning, and it said something right away.
Yeah,
but like I said, he fell asleep in the boat and woke up in Louisiana.
That's pretty much what it was.
Well, granted, from Galveston to get across the border is not that far. But right, if you're paddling a boat, I think the distance that somebody brought up was 50 miles. And I'll just say this again, from just knowing things. In the Scouts, if you do a 50-mile canoe trip, it usually takes a week. So if he's been paddling for a week, okay. But has he been out on the boat that long, and it's just him paddling a raft in the ocean? Just saying, it's getting harder and harder to go with.
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't know any of the time, like, frame. It's just, you know, wasn't seeming like it was that long when he left the group. And then the war, or whatever war, you know, was happening, that you could potentially then see that when they were, the tower was burning, and then they were like getting the rafts prepared to, and then shoved off. To me, that could see like a few days, you know, so.
It was long enough for her to presume, it was long enough for him to presume Alicia was dead. So,
right.
Beyond that, I don't think we know.
Yeah, we don't. Because they don't ever let us know.
My thought was it had probably been 3 to 5 days, but that was anybody's guess.
Yeah, I would just kind of I would agree with that kind of time frame. That's kind of what I was thinking. So
maybe as long as 7, but I'd say no more than that. 3 to 5 yeah. would be my guess.
All right. Well, LT, did you have any other?
I think that was about it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get going, and we'll just go into our oh hell no sauce.
Oh hell no!
All right. The first oh hell no sauce comes from Emma from the UK, and she says, "I thought this when the first thing Baby Mo did, which was cry. Oh hell no." I think we might have a reprieve, hopefully, from Baby Mo cry now that she's with Padre.
Yes, the poor people in Padre are dealing with her now.
But apparently they're like the children, so they can have her.
Maybe. But this is like, look, if we give her back, will you promise to leave?
Just until like, we can't stay.
I haven't had a night's rest since you got here.
They just, Madison and Morgan walk up to the gates and the door just opens up.
And you see two arms holding Baby Mo out. Here.
And they just put the baby outside. Just like, take her. All right. Next.
And next for our Oh Hell No Sauce, we have Aaron from the internet, who says, Madison would not warning shot anyone. Morgan would be dead on the beach. It's sad we get Madison back, but of course they have to edit her to keep Morgan around, which really isn't Madison. And yeah, I'm debating returning for next season. Kim's stuff will be online, and I can always listen to the podcast to keep up with what's happened.
Oh, Aaron, maybe we'll see.
Maybe it wasn't a warning shot. Maybe she missed.
Yeah. Because she was gasping for air.
And holding a baby.
Yes. all right. Well, thank you all for your oh hell no's.
We'll miss hearing from you every week. So
I'll still listen to the podcast. Maybe if you can always leave comments about it and do it that way instead of having to watch the show.
Well, I'll just as a sidebar. Once upon a time, when I was still shooting competitively, I was at a match where part of it was you had to carry a baby doll. So you had to shoot the stages basically one-handed holding the baby doll. And somebody said at the end of my run, they said, it's not a football. Because apparently I had tucked her up under my arm and was running with her.
And they said, well, I mean, wow.
I was going to say, you know, I've had two of my own, and you know, they're wiggly little things, and you know, you got to hold on to them, and that's what you do. You kind of, you know, you cradle their head in the back of your hand, and you tuck them in tight, and you can carry
them. Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of the things they used to make us do, like, you know, carry things and move things and do things and to make it more competitive. So
couldn't just tie your hand behind your back. Nope. Have to give you a baby doll.
Oh, you know, we did. There's like 100 things. Baby dolls. You had to carry a suitcase. One of them is you had to carry a crate of records from one station to the next station.
Holy crud. No way.
I want to say they called it moving day.
I was thinking the same thing.
The only one that was really bad, just it's for my
like moving in a, it's more like moving in a rough neighborhood.
Well, the worst one is, if I've never mentioned it, is that yes, I am a little chromatically challenged. And so they had colored targets, and of course they had red targets and brown targets and green targets. And I'm like, you bastards. Cause I had a hard time telling some of them apart. So
yeah,
I said, "This is not fair. I'm gonna file a complaint with the ADA." I said, "You're all you color enabled people." I said, "I can't see your stupid colors."
Let's go into our own oh hell no sauce, and I don't know if you guys had any, but okay, so when Morgan was telling Madison what Alicia told him that she told them was that you're not gone until you're gone, and that's when I was like, ugh, no, no, no. It's like, this is where it becomes the Morgan show and not the Madison show. Like, that whole little scene just was like, okay, so here's where this, like, it just, that's it. It just, that's... using that, Morgan using that line and making that connection with Madison, then it was like, okay, Morgan is not going anywhere. He's going to be still the main part of the show. So I know Aaron's not a big fan of Morgan, but I kind of took that, especially when it says guest starring Kim Dickens in the, you know, like the credits in the beginning or the cast credits, that I was just kind of like, oh, so Morgan is the lead?
I didn't get that at all. That wasn't the way I read it at all. The way I read it was it's going to be Elaine James, what's her name? Kim Dickens, you know, forced to be Morgan and Madison take over the world kind of thing. I saw it as a 50-50 thing. So
yeah,
to me, it's like they set up the whole season to be just those two and nobody else left but guest stars. Like everyone that was on the season, on the show before, everyone is a guest star. None of them have to be, you know, stars of the show anymore. Even Colvin Domingo.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
well, just think about it. Morgan and Madison, it's like lethal zombie weapon. Except I'm not going to, yeah. I don't know who Mel Gibson is and who Danny Glover is, but it's.
Danny Glover is Murtaugh.
Brian, not who they were in the movie, who Morgan and Madison would be of which character? Which one's the crazy one and which one's the one about ready to retire? I'm just saying that it's like this is our new apocalypse buddy cop duo.
Yeah. I still felt though it was just that it was like solidifying that Morgan is not going anywhere and that he's still going to be, you know, the one
Why did you think Morgan was going somewhere?
Why did you think he was going anywhere? I mean, like,
not that I was thinking it. It was just that I'm like that. Kim Dickens coming back to the show. I was hoping of being like, okay, they're going in a different direction where it's going to be more like sided to Madison's character. Well, that's what I wanted. I wanted it to be more like this is her coming back in her show, but it's just now it's like Morgan's
with the same showrunners in charge. You would just be giving them the okay to say, okay, well we sucked. We didn't, you know, we lost our jobs and. You know, here it is, other showrunners, you know, you take over. If that's what happened, then what you're saying could be the case. Be like a new regime change and they change it, you know, everything around. But in the case here, it's the same showrunners. So for them to do that, they would have to admit defeat. They would have to say, everything we did is wrong, but please let us stay on the show. We'll write it a different way. Honest, we will. So I didn't get that at all. They can make this like almost like it was supposed to be. We wrote her in, you know, fuzzy so she could be you know, she's Schrodinger's Madison. That's something I've said several times lately, Schrodinger's whatever. And you know, she can be both dead and alive, much like Rick on the, you know, main show, both dead and alive, you know, depending on what you know and who you know. So it's been the same thing with Madison. She's been presumed dead, much like Alicia is being presumed dead. You know, they left it open just an inch that she could be alive, you know, or maybe about to have her very, very, very last breath whenever we finally meet her in, you know, episode 16 of season 8 or whatever. And but anyway, my point being is for him to give up the reins, that would have to make it that the producers had failed and that either they lost their jobs or that, you know, they would agree to make radical changes to the show at someone else's behest. So I don't see anything happening that way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess it was more of my, yeah, what I was kind of hoping to, and I was hoping for was getting more Madison and more of her coming in to being like more of like the main character. And then it was just like, okay, Morgan. And
well,
or maybe the main focus, I guess.
Well, see, I don't think they're going to do it.
Well, but I don't think what you're saying is you're saying, oh, well, it's not going to be that. Well, if I'm right and it's a 50-50 thing, then there's nothing really to worry about. You know, he's, he's not going to be the leader of the episode, and she's going to be like, you know, at Ruben Blades, you know, level, or even like, what's her name? Even Victor's level. Right, she's going to be like, I think it's going to be a 50-50 thing. So she's going to have plenty of screen time. She's going to have lots to do. So much, in fact, that the rest of the people on the show will have almost nothing to do, including Victor Strand will have nothing to do, very little to do. I think it'll probably be three stars, him being one of them, and she being the other one, and then maybe Victor will be the other, and it looks like we're down to two.
Yeah, because, well, I was just going to say, they brought Lenny James over to the show. He's been carrying the mail for all these years. I don't see them just dropping him like a hot rock to bring her back.
They're going to bring her back to support him. I
mean, yeah, it's not going to be the Madison's back and now Morgan's gone.
Right.
I would be stunned.
Yeah. No, it's going to be more of a, you know, we're going to try this one more year with the two biggest stars on the show. And if this doesn't work, we're done. You know, that's, to me, that's what it is. She's back for like one final hurrah kind of thing. She's going for it. And if it, you know, works out great, and if it doesn't, she only gave up 1 year.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I was just afraid that after we saw this, it was good to see her back. I kind of like what they've done with the character, but I'm really wondering, you know, are the people that have been, you know, baying for her to return gonna be happy when it's not who they think it should be?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Well, you know, since you're here, I don't have to, like, I'm not unsupervised, so.
Oh, the ratings?
No.
You can do the ratings.
You missed the point. When Kyle disappears, this is usually when I start doing Bill's commercials and singing.
Oh, but I'm here now. Yes, yes. I've taken over the, I won't say babysitting, that wouldn't be right. So, yeah, I was.
Shh, shh, shh. He's back.
Is he?
I should.
I was in Al.
It's like, hey, quick, he's back. Shh, don't say it.
Internet issues are so fun.
And I was just telling, and I was just finishing telling Brian, that's what I think is going to happen next season.
Okay.
What? Kyle and Brian go fishing? Is that Madison and Morgan go fishing?
No, they're gonna steal the plot, the scripts they wrote for Carol and Daryl's big road trip, and it's gonna be Madison and Morgan.
Madison.
they're gonna find a motorcycle and they're gonna go to New Mexico.
You know, that could be. Maybe they're able to salvage a whole season, you know, script out of that, and just, you know, this wasn't, you know, made for them. It was based on an original script from The Walking Dead, or from, you know, Fucking Dead or whatever.
Maybe they'll find us. You know, Fawking. Maybe they'll find like a solar powered CPAP machine, so she won't need oxygen bottles. And...
solar powered CPAP machine. Yeah, I never got to say anything about the whole oxygen thing, but I was actually thinking the same thing. It's like awfully convenient how, you know, her need of oxygen is only like an occasional puff every 20 minutes or something, versus, you know, people going around nursing homes with, you know, those puffers in their nostrils.
Yeah. They're like, constant flow. Yeah.
Once walking around on a, on a walker, on, you know, posters.
Well, look, Brian, they can't be bothered to pick up a new knife or bullets. What makes you think they're going to be bothered to pick up O2 bottles? Or food.
Or ammo that was, like off a body that was just shooting at them and you killed them.
Exactly. When the Baghead patrol all had guns, and when they washed up on the beach, they didn't have guns. Where'd the guns go?
Yeah. I make me host so I can share audio again.
Ding, you're host.
Or co-host, or whatever. I can get access.
Hold on. I can't do anything.
Wait a minute. Does that mean that I have the power?
Hold on a second. It put me in a different spot.
No, I got it.
I got it.
I don't got it.
There.
Share screen audio done.
Oh, hell.
Okay.
Boy, that's a different version than what I've heard. When did you cut that down so much?
The one I played
was like this big, long ass, like 13 second.
Exactly. And I said, hey, Kyle, why don't we edit that down a little bit?
Yeah, it's still the original one that you have. That's just in Farrago. I just cut it down. Like, you can select how long the clip is. So.
And it's like you said, it's like you got the glug glunk.
Yeah.
Long pause, dead air. Oh, hell no. No. Mm-hmm. I said, we need to tighten that up a little bit.
Yep.
I think that's a good edit. I just never heard that version before.
Yeah, I don't.
Golf claps for Kyle. Golf claps for Kyle.
Well, no, that's your suggestion. Golf claps for Kyle. All right, well, where are we?
You must have, I'm just saying, you must have did that, the episode I missed.
You're on a farm in Illinois.
Yeah, it was last week, and it's the same. It's like the thing. It's the same audio file. I just actually then edited it down. Yeah. So, you know, like, you can.
Start. As I said, I think it's good edit. So this is the first time I heard it before.
Cool. All right. Are we on to our sad and awes? I don't know what you guys, what was going on after I dropped, because it just kicked me off and I was talking.
Well, it's recorded. I just was saying, I don't see that it would be, as soon as Madison came back, Morgan would be gone. And
yeah.
Because, you know, he's been, like it or not, approve or not, you know, Morgan has been here carrying the mail for however many seasons, and I don't see them just showing him the door because they brought Madison back.
Yeah.
Well,
that it's not, this isn't like, it's not like Stargate where when they lost, Richard Dean Anderson and the guy with glasses, and they brought in the guy from, that I can't think of his name now. It was the show, it was the TV show on CBS that was a knockoff of Ferris Bueller's Day Off and had the guy that was on ER that played Larry. And it was because, anyway, I'm going down a trivia hole. Anyway, but they basically brought in, these are not the original characters, but they're basically simulacra of the original characters that are going to carry on in the plot until Richard Dean Anderson and the guy with glasses came back, and then all of a sudden the other guys disappeared. It's not like a bad pseudo-substitution. This is a whole nother, it's a separate character thing. So I think they're kind of, I think it is what it is.
All right, well, then that's enough of that, and let's move on then. Yeah, all right, our sad and awsos. The first sad and awsos comes from Glynis from Toronto, and she says, Madison hearing the fate of Alicia and Nick from Morgan. Yeah, sad.
Sad sauce from Aaron from the internet, who says, we'll never see the Clark family reunite. Crying face. I say never because Alicia isn't coming back. She died on the beach. I say dead because we all know she's not coming back, sadly. Ugh, the tone deafness of these writers. They better be glad they got Kim Dickens back for a while because I would have been so gone after last week without her. You'll always be missed, Alicia.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that was all our sad and awsos from our listeners, so that goes into ours. And really, it was just more of a, you know, kind of agreeing with everybody else. Morgan getting trapped in his lie about the Madison's kids, or about Madison's kids, and then him having to tell the truth when Ava was going to shoot them. And so, like I don't agree with this move by the writers, you know, just like that of killing off the kids, not Nick, but just like Alicia, just like not having this reunion that I think a lot of people were hoping for. But then, like Mike said, so Alicia's not coming back, or actually Aaron. And this was just how to end it for Madison's character. It's like, she says she got over it, but this makes that even more the point. So it's like, okay, I think even Morgan said, it's like, oh, well, you know, I think he said, it's like, oh, you know, I don't know if she's still out there. Like, I think they again played the whole, like, oh, well, there is no body, you know, there's still nothing, you know, that we saw that was like, oh, this is a specifically, you know, like, totally above and beyond, like, yes, she is dead. It was just more like they kind of did a whole dreamy, whatever, you know, just leave it vague and, you know, hallucinations and all this other stuff. But I mean, I feel like this is doing it this way, getting Morgan trapped in a lie, him telling Madison that, you know, okay, they dead. I saw, you know, mostly saw them, that this for the writers and everything is like, okay, that just puts an end to it. So, and now they can move on. And I thought that was sad because I really was hoping for a reunion, but I guess we'll just have to leave it at that.
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of a cop out, if anything. You know, I just thought that, you know, they could have committed to like Alicia being dead, or they could have committed to her being alive, and kind of leaving it at this, like, you know, she's 99% dead and 1% alive. We'll bring her back if, you know, we absolutely need to, but we don't want to. They could have made it a much more satisfying and bittersweet death to me if they had just said, they had just had that like meeting on the shore. You know, even that, the death between Daniel and Ophelia, you know, where she basically died just, you know, seconds before he got there. And just, you know, committing to something like that. And instead, they had to, I don't know, just make it very unsatisfying. And, you know, of course she's going to know that Nick has died, because Nick's been dead for a couple of years. It can't be a, you know, some kind of reunion flashback or something. But I would have liked to have seen the death episode. And, and you know, it would have meant a lot more, I think, to, like, bring her back in. You know, she'd turn some way for, you know, what's her name's, I want to say, what's not her name? Hold on. Alicia. Alicia's, I wanted to say, Olivia. I'm like, that's not right.
Oh, yeah.
anyway, Alicia's, you know, dying wish, you know, don't be like them anymore, or, you know, don't do that anymore, would be more to me, to her character, than just Morgan saying, you know, something like that to her and kind of snapping her out of it. You know, like a dying wish to Alicia would have been better to me.
Well, think about it. This season's trope has been, let's lie about the status of the people you love. I mean, they lied to Daniel about when he was hallucinating about Ophelia. He lied to Madison. There've been countless lies about the status of the people we care about this season. It seems to be the thing they've been doing. And you're right. We can't have, you know, Schrodinger's Nick, because we know that Nick is, you know, shuffled off to join the Choir Invisible. But I think I agree with you that I don't know the utility of him lying about it, other than it, you know, getting him a little further down the line. And just like with Luciana lying to Daniel, it seems like that she took it fairly well. I guess my sad sauce is just, what have they done to the script and what have they done to the plot?
Well, right. And that's like,
you know, they've cold-bloodedly murdered so many opportunities, and they've in cold blood killed all the chances they could have to do something better.
Well, right. That's the unfortunate part of it. Is like they and I think I even said it like an episode or two ago, where it was like they've had so many opportunities to be able to tell the same story but do it in a more impactful way, you know. And like, why couldn't Alicia, like I put it in my awesome sauce for this week, that I thought it was like awesome, and of course I said awesome as just because I liked it, but not necessarily was awesome. But like, we finding out basically, or seeing the turn for Madison, you know, finding out that her kids were dead because she was afraid of the Padre people. They were using that to finding her kids against her, so she kept doing the, you know, working for them. And now that they're dead, she's like, okay, I'm free. I don't have to worry about my kids because they're dead. Now I can like stop working for Padre. And it's kind of like, they could have done something where, yeah, Morgan be like, oh yeah, Alicia, she's almost like sick, you know, and then have that dying moment that would have been very, very impactful. Also still doing the exact same thing where it's like, oh, now Madison, you know, gets to have the last moment with Alicia, but then that sets the deal where she's like, oh, but she's now free from Padre, and so she can go after those people that are stealing everybody's babies. You know, there's like so many things that they could have done, and instead, yeah, I think they just squat.
I think that they should have brought Alicia to Padre, and the moment that she gets there, she dies in her sleep, and she's like that, you know, nerd in the prison and basically got a prison
Eats Charlie.
Mini zombie clips. No, I forget the kid's name, but he had glasses and curly hair and died. He died in the, shower stills or whatever.
Yeah. No, I was saying it'd be like if that was like Alicia or whatever, and then she goes and eats Charlie and kills her. Because at least then someone would kill Charlie for killing Nick.
You leave Charlie alone!
I was waiting for that. It's like, I was waiting for Morgan to say, Charlie killed him.
No, right. And it's no, he didn't say anything. He's just like, oh yeah, he was too late, you know, or like we were all there and we buried him. And not that like, oh, and the girl who you rescued or tried to was the one that shot him. Like, and she's still alive. She's on a raft. That's like she's still alive, so
and she's coming there.
Yeah.
Her name is Charlie. Yeah.
So are we gonna see that meeting?
I don't know.
We'll see, I guess. All right. Well, do you guys have any others or we move on?
Will we ever see Daniel's cat? There you go.
There.
That's right.
I don't know.
We want justice for Skidmark. Where's Skidmark?
If Padre has Skidmark, that's the last straw.
Oh, God.
All right. All right. Well, let's go into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, we have a voicemail, a multiple voicemails that I had to put together from Dieta from Detroit. So there'll be a little bit of a jump because, you know, she called in, but then, of course, it cut her off and then she had to, like, you know, call back. So we got three of them that I put together. So I will just play the thing in its entirety and we'll go from there.
Hi, this is Dieta calling for Fear the Walking Dead. Calling from Detroit. And I was calling in some feedback. Just was going to leave a voicemail because I just caught up on the podcast, which you guys listen to. So I've been behind with the listen to the podcast. So I just listened to, what was it? I can't remember. The one before Amina and then Amina. You guys are hilarious. Brian, glad to see you back. Miss you. LT and Kyle. Y'all all crack me up, especially the one before the Mina episode when y'all were talking about how the show just is just doing whatever it wants to do. And what I wanted to say was that I think the writers just took the papers and just threw them up in the air and just said, whatever y'all want to do with the show, we gonna do it. Because the way they had these stories, this season, and the storyline with the big so-called not happening war is crazy. None of it make no sense, though. None of it connect. You know how you watch a series and you see how one, the last episode leads into the next episode and the next episode leads into the next episode. And it's connecting and it makes sense. And you understand what's going on and you're into it because it's making sense. Fear the Walking Dead just left everything. I'm serious. I think they just threw the papers up and walked out the room, and people just started doing whatever on the show. Because I can't believe, like Kyle said, a table of writers actually sat down and said, "Yeah, we're gonna do this." And it's like you said, we, the people that watch the show, we know what's going on. It doesn't make sense. If it don't make sense to people that watch the show, how the hell do it make sense to them? But, I mean, I'm not going nowhere, guys. I just wanted to tell y'all that, too. I'm still following my first and foremost show, The Walking Dead. This is where it started. It started me with the universe was that show, and I'm not going nowhere. Even after it leaves, I'm still sad about that. I'm going to follow some of the other shows that they're bringing out, and I'm going to have to see where they go. But if they start taking me down this Fear the Walking Dead route, I don't know, Kyle, LT, Brian. I might have to just catch y'all up on, I don't know. I just be listening because I probably won't be coming because I can't do this right here. I don't know what they're going to do with the show, but I don't, like you said, I guess it's going to end. And like you said, we don't have any connections to any of the other shows, the CRM. That, of course, you know, my voicemail, this might be a 3 voicemail rant. But anyway, I was just saying that CRM went out the window when Al left, I guess. I don't know. I just don't know what they was trying, what they're trying to do with this show besides end it, which is probably going to be for the best. So last week episode with Morgan and Baby Mo and Madison. Like I said, I mean, somebody else posted. I forgot who it was. But they said that, you know, they wasn't a fan of Madison. Now, I remember me, I got to the point where Madison wasn't my favorite either. But after seeing how the show just went, I just felt like her coming back will probably give it some life. I don't know how much life. And especially now knowing that they're not even going to let us see the reunion between her and Alicia. I guess, like you said, we just going to see. I'm just going to be looking with one eye open, basically. So I'm going to look. I ain't going to get too invested. I'm just going to look, take a peek. But last week episode, so we found out Padre is kidnapping babies. So our whole lead up is to find out that Padre is kidnapping babies from people because they feel like they can't raise their kids in the apocalypse. So we don't know who the people in Padre is, but I'm just trying to figure out what they doing with all these babies and how many people, if they got all these babies, who's taking care of all these babies? But they still got people out there coming to pick up the babies. I don't know. They're just crazy. Like, so I guess we're supposed to believe Padre's going to be the baby daycare. So it's going to be baby moles all over the place. The reunion with Morgan and Madison, it was okay. But I think the way that it came out, that he knew the kids, was kind of like, like, just because she had the name Nick tattooed on her arm. Now, unless Alicia told her, yeah, my mom got nickname tattooed on her arm, told Morgan that, then how, just by him saying, just looking at the tattoo or saying, oh no, you're Alicia's, Nick's mom. I didn't think that worked. That just didn't make sense to me. Because I think it should have been some more conversation had about her kids and, you know, where she's from and what happened. Then it kind of would have clicked. But just him looking at her arm and seeing the tattoo, seeing Nick, and then he going, oh, you're Alicia's mom and da-da-da-da. But whatever. It's Fear the Walking Dead, so expect that kind of, you expect that kind of fake dialogue. It's almost as bad as them coming out the tunnel with Baby Mo and he don't say nothing with y'all say. He didn't say, hey, Dwayne, hey, Sherry. He hollered, Mo, Mo. And it's like, she can't answer. She can't even talk. Okay, so I'm going to be quick because this is my third voicemail. But yeah, I was just saying that he calling out the Baby Mo. That was real kind of dumb. I don't know who wrote that. But anyway, so this last episode, it comes out that he knew the kids, whatever, and I don't know. I think I was kind of numb after last week's episode, the bye-bye to Alicia. So I kind of watched the episode, but I really didn't watch it. Because I guess I just knew, you know, I'm just like thinking like, now what? But it was an okay episode. I give it maybe a 6 out of 10 for a rating. Awesome sauce. ILC, it was probably the walkers coming out the water with, or the heads and the heads in the sand. That was probably about the awesome thing. I mean, of course, you know, there's all that suspension disbelief. Madison killing the walkers with the axe after she's buried in the sand. That was, I guess, just the fact that Morgan, I don't know. I just don't know what to say about this show no more. But what else happened on that? okay. Oh, I don't have any particular weak sauce. It was an okay episode. And I do want to say hey to, oh, God. Now I'm trying to say hey to you, and I can't think of, it was just on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, so. The episode, let's see. Let me get back to the episode. I mean, I really don't have nothing good to say. It was an okay episode. We saw Morgan Padres taking babies from people. They trying to get their babies back. Nobody knows. Apparently, she's suffering lung damage from the smoke inhalation, and nobody knows what project, and they got her kidnapping babies. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Is it one more episode, or was that it? Renee, girl, I'm sending prayers to you and your family. And Brian, prayers to you too, because I know you said you've been going through some stuff. And anybody else that's on our podcast or listening, prayers to everybody in their family. You know, just let me maintain and get through everything. What else did I want to say? I think that's it, guys. Bye. I love y'all. Oh, Renee, you ain't missed nothing this season, girl. If you don't even watch this season, you just listen to the podcast and it'll tell you how terrible it was, because it's just terrible. So, I don't know. You might not even want to waste your time. Just catch your jump in when The Walking Dead come back or whatever that new show's supposed to start. All right, y'all. Love y'all. Bye.
Thank you, Deanna. Oh, great to hear from you, as always. Don't worry about it being, you know, too long or voicemail or rambling or whatever, because, yeah, so I feel like sometimes watching this show has been kind of like that. It's just, it's all over the place. And
That was more amusing than the last 16 episodes, so...
Oh, goodness gracious.
And let's be honest with it, that if it's cathartic for you to get it out that way, then go right ahead, because the good part about doing the podcast, even though we don't always love the show, is that we, you know, the three of us have each other to decompress, and, you know, we can get it out. And part of the side process of that is you guys get whatever you get with the podcast, but you know, we can all work out our frustrations amongst ourselves as we're talking about it. So
yeah. And imagine me, I haven't been able to vent yet either episode. So I've only said just a little bit about this episode, but,
well, you're going to have your chance.
I know. I don't even know what I'm going to say. But anyway, Deanna, I guess it'll be a couple of months. Well, don't want to say it. That's news section, but.
That's news section, yeah.
Yeah. We'll miss you during the hiatus.
Yes. And don't worry. We will still. I'm glad that, you know, I'm happy that, you know, you're enjoying the podcast, at least, you know, and like listening to us. And, you know, we, you know, want your feedback for every, you know, if you have any comments or whatever, it's like, definitely don't hold back. But I definitely can tell you, we all got through this season of Fear, but we know that there's more to come that should be a lot better and more, more.
And, you know, even though we're part of it, I can definitely say that we're better than we as a podcast are better than the show. So
yes.
That's where I like to be. I like being better than the show. That's where I like to aspire to. And I feel like on this show and the Star Trek shows that we do, I think that we aspire and sometimes exceed the other shows.
Yes.
Right now, I think it's hard to exceed Strange New Worlds. I don't think any show is going to be able to do that, but. We are entertaining anyway.
But we can definitely exceed your expectations for Fear, as I've always believed in low but achievable goals.
Oh, and speaking of that, I don't know if you saw this or not. I don't know if I put that on the list, but I got a fortune on Sunday, and its fortune was defy everyone's expectations. And I posted this on Facebook and Instagram, and my response was, I would feel a lot better about this particular fortune cookie, except it spelled the word defy, capital D, small E, capital F, small I, like Wi-Fi.
So, yeah, I saw that.
So, to me, that wasn't the message that. We can defy everyone's expectations, but we better have spelled that word correctly.
All right. Oh, anyway. Always. Yeah. Thank you, Dieta. All right. Well, that was the only voicemail that we got this week. And so let's go into our written feedback. All right. Well, next comes, do you want to take Mike Selty?
I shall. Mike from Asheville says, overall, I did enjoy this episode. Felt like a palate cleanser after the season we got. I enjoyed seeing the new location. As said before, Madison was good in this. It's yet to be seen if I'll like her for an entire season. My hope is next season will include the whole cast and not just be Morgan and Madison. I'm wondering if there are any ties to CRM or if Fear the Walking Dead is going to be its own thing and not tie into the future of this world. The point of the finale is to get you hooked to come back next season. This did its job. Here's hoping they have a plan and execute it well. I want to say this has been a joy talking with you guys. Wish I had come in earlier in the season. Looking forward to talking The Walking Dead again and Tales. All the feedback from the other listeners has been great. Let's keep having fun with this world.
Thank you, Mike.
And I concur, and it's good to have some new voices. We love our regular contributors, but we're always looking for somebody new to give us another perspective.
Very true.
Yeah. And Mike definitely, he had been following us. You know, he's been a member on the page for a long time, but he was just behind and was trying to catch up. And then once he got caught up is when he started, like, reached out and was like, oh, hey, I'm finally caught up. I'm like, I can start, like, commenting and, like, you know, getting into the flow of things. And so I'm happy that you were able to do that, Mike, because definitely enjoy your comments a lot.
Yes.
And I definitely, with you saying here's like, here's like the point of the finale is to get you hooked to come back for next season. You know, I did get some of that this week, this week, and it is one of those things where it's like, I think we even said it before, I think me and LT were talking about it, where it's just like, you know, it's like, it's, we don't dislike the show, like, we like parts of it, it's just, yeah, it's like, you saying here's hoping they have a plan to execute it well, that's where I get really nervous, because I kept feeling like I've kept seeing that season after season, because it'd be like at the end, it'd be like, oh, wow. Or like, oh, you know, here's the trailer for next season, or, you know, whenever, you know, they were doing the cons, but, you know, of course we had the pandemic, but, you know, it's like you get the little, I think even said for the trailer for 7B, and I remember like, oh my gosh, there's like so much stuff going on. This actually kind of looks really cool. So I was kind of like all like, okay, maybe this lap back half is going to be really exciting. And then, you know, that's.
Well, to what Mike said, I'm kind of going, well, yeah, I can see the plan.
Yeah.
I think the kicker is going to be executed well. And just to sidebar it from my perspective, Custer had a plan. It just didn't work out very well for him in the end. So we'll just have to see. I will always sit there and hope that there's going to be some miracle that's going to just knock my socks off and I'm going to be, wow, this is great television. But you know, if one thing that the writers and the showrunners have done is they've managed to, you know, snatch victory out of the jaws, or excuse me, they've been able to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory at the last moment so many times.
Oh my gosh, that's like such a good way to put it.
if I'm going to use my analogy, I need to use it right. You know, they like I said, they've managed to drop the ball more times when, you know, I don't know. I guess this is, I'm beginning to understand how Charlie Brown felt.
With the football.
You know, the show is Lucy and the football.
Yes.
I expect it to be there and I expect the kick to land, but then I end up laying on my back looking up at the sky.
Oh my God. That is, oh, that's the perfect analogy right there.
Yep.
Oh, ouch. All right. Well, thank you, Mike. All right. Well, next.
So we have feedback from Aaron for the internet who says, if Madison doesn't murder the shit out of Charlie when she finds out she killed Nick and doesn't murder others over Alicia, it's not really Madison Clark we're seeing on the screen. She would totally seek payback for them. Also, again, confirmation Alicia's dead on the beach and the zombie she killed was her committing suicide to not be the walker she feared. It's no wonder they let the news of her being gone leak. It was coming out this episode either way. Sad face. We got more on Padre, but also not enough, so I'm not going to put it in awesome sauce. This might have been a more watchable episode and higher rated if I just wasn't so over it all because, again, progress on Padre, but how did they find Madison? And why are they handicapping yet another character to push the plot? I'm just over the wasted potential of this series. It's the last season coming up. I honestly don't care about another place they're going to be able that they aren't going to be able to keep. I wanted either Madison with Alicia and Strand or Alicia leading and finding a home they could keep, and that's not happening. There's literally nothing to almost stay for with this series. The podcast, because y'all are awesome, but that's it. I'll always wonder what could have been post the dam if Dave Erickson had stayed, but this, even though we're at the end, again, I feel like skipping until the series finale to see who the last three OGs is alive, and even then, like watching just the last 5 or 10 minutes, but not for the whole episode. They have bombed this series to the ground so much and over dumb choices. It's a sad sauce of its own, how things have been handled. Sad face.
I mean, I just can't not like disagree. I think we've kind of talked about it, or even like beginning of when the new showrunners took over. But it's like, I've always wondered what it would have been like post the dam after, you know, with Dave Erickson, because I remember covering season 3 and, you know, we've talked about it just being like, we really enjoyed that season. And, you know, there was all these like little hooks of like, oh, they're going to Houston or whoever, what's his face, the bad guy that was the drug runner or whatever, in charge of that one bizarre, you know, the place with the tents and like the Strand got put in jail or whatever, this and that. But, you know, there was like all this stuff. And then, you know, it's like, that all got changed, and then we got to where we're at now. And, you know, that's, you know, we'll never know. And it's kind of like, we can't really go back to say, oh, well, what if? It's just like, it is what it is. And that's just where we're at. Unfortunately. I mean, what's his face that I can't think of his name right now, that, you know, was a showrunner for Walking Dead through season 2 until that ended and Gimple took over. I can't remember his name. But anyways, you know, it's like, what would have happened if, you know, the original showrunner of The Walking Dead was still around? You know, like, what kind of decisions and choices and stuff would have been made? So, it is what it is.
And, of course, if the original showrunner of The Walking Dead has stayed around, would it have lasted this long? We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of people don't think about, is that, you know, certainly the show got to the point where it got to, based on Gwen Lazzara, who, you know, was showrunner of season 2 and season 3 of TWD, and Gimple, who was, you know, showrunner for season 4 to 8, plus took over the universe after that, you know, and you know, and then the whole streaming thing and changes in the way that people watch their TV since then. I mean, no show gets the kind of ratings that it did. So, you know, you don't know the whole picture of everything, but LT brings a a good point. You know, if Darabont had, you know, showrun the show to the whole, you know, would it have gotten as far as it would have? I don't know. I mean, there's no way to know unless you're like Jerry O'Donnell or O'Connell on Sliders, you know, if it's Sliders, maybe you might know, but otherwise, no. So
yeah.
And
there's just no way to know.
And even if you took your DeLorean back to 2010 and made sure that he didn't get fired, who's to say what would have happened today?
Right.
It's true. No, it's true. It is. It's like, that's just what happens when, you know, you got new people that come in and it just, things change and they go different directions. And, you know, Angela King, you know, ended up taking over started in season 9 was when Angela King back or came in. But, you know, and then it changed a lot then too, because we were all tired of Negan and the wars and just like it was kind of like, you know. But anyways, enough of that. Let's just move on.
Yep.
We just don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Next comes from Glenn, is from Toronto. And she says, back to a good episode. This is more like it. Why are the collectors disposing of all the toys? Why don't they keep them for the children they've taken to play with? Madison brought the stuffed toy to the interrogation room and then dumped each stuffed toy, representing the kid taken from their parents, into that elevator shaft or pit each time after taking a kid.
Remember what she said. She kept saying no connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you want the kid to stop thinking about mom and dad, you take away all the things that they know and are familiar to them.
Yeah, no.
It's the same reason you can't keep any of your civilian gear when you're in basic training, because they want you to get that sense of isolation from your old life so that you, you know, go into your new mindset.
Mm, no, that's a good point. All right, she goes on. She says, what are the collectors' plan for taking the kids and then killing their parents, rearing the next generation with no family connections or having youth army? Wrap thought process that with doing it for the good of the children. I don't know. Season 8 will hopefully reveal that plot thread, although I suppose we'll have to wait to Season 8, Episode 16 for the tell-all. She goes on, she says, the group of people seeking revenge on those collectors with sex over their faces look like a bunch of wannabe Rorschach watchmen, dishing out vengeance and in trying to get their kids back, end up killing innocents. Morgan realizing exactly who Madison was a spine-chilling moment. Was Madison, in tattooing their names on her wrist, meant to keep reminding herself of why she was separating kids away from their family so she didn't lose all sense of her goodness and connection to her family? But as she mentioned, she realized that finding them wouldn't be good, considering they'd be indoctrinated into Padre or killed. The collector's grip seems to be wide, as I would have thought Madison could just disappear and not return. Then she'd be out of their reach. Madison's kids' names burnt into her skin and heart, and it showed the passage of time as, at first, when she was being interrogated, Alicia and Nixetu's names were red and inflamed compared to now when Morgan spotted him. They, I expect, also held her need of oxygen over her to, and tells me that they were the ones who rescued her from the stadium fire, as Madison has major lung damage. And that was, hopefully we will see, because that's a big question. Cause I'm like, so much time has passed and obviously they've got to at least give us some insight of what happened to Madison after the fire and how did she get here? So, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. And hopefully that is a part of it, because that would be a story we'd want to hear. She goes on and says, it's a pity Ava went with that group to confront the collectors as they all ended up dead. Ava would have been a good addition to the group when she retrieved that rifle from her ancestor's crypt and also faked that she was pregnant and shot out the oxygen tape, making Madison very vulnerable and sort of signing her death warrant. She had a lot of spunk, fight, and cunning in her. Well, we should already know that's like fear, like said, introduce us to new people and then rip them away. So it's like, I was not surprised that she was not a part of a new character, you know, of the series.
Yeah, it's not exactly a surprise.
Yeah, but they've done it too often in the last, this last back half, we lost a lot of people that were just introduced to us. So, all right. She goes on and says, Madison had a lovely view when she was buried in the sand on that beach and got ahead of everyone else to watch the sunset. Smiley face. Then it was hammer time to kill those walkers after Morgan was grappling with Walker Ava. Morgan lost it again for a moment, seeing Ava with the, Ava as a walker with the sad green frog looking stuffed toy that confirmed identification that she had met her in. Since he's been responsible for misleading her initially and bringing Madison back with him, although it was Ava's decision to go with that group, writers, please don't send Morgan down that you know what it is road again. Yeah, I don't think. I'll leave the clear. We'll see. No, I don't want to see. I think that would be silly. That would be up there with basically Sherry and that Sherry and Dwight episode where we were saying it's like why is she so on this whole like kind of back to Negan, you know, when it's like, how long has it got, you know, it's been since they've been out of his clutch, you know, and like under his oppression. And then, you know, I don't know. It's just, if they did something like that, I don't know. I'd be like, I don't want to see that. And then so Morgan joining Padre together with Madison, all this to save Mo. Those Padre guys don't know what they've got themselves in for with all that crying, smiley face. And heading to a Coast Guard ship just offshore with whispers of season 2 and the Abigail. Also makes me wonder what happened to those folks that Alicia was entangled with at that shipyard when Madison and company rescued her, and whatever happened to Alex, who was banished from the Abigail when Strand cut her lifeboat loose. But maybe these people aren't connected at all. Just wondering, with bringing Lost Souls back into the picture, like The Walking Dead brings back Morales. But Padre looks like a government-conceived plan put into action by another set of warped minds. Thank you, Glennis. I mean, you've hit a lot of good points. So, we'll definitely have to see what is in store with us next season. Because, like I said, I'm like, I don't want a clear moment for Morgan because that would just seem very out of place. And it's all about Padre and kids stealing. And yes, maybe it is that they show up at the Padre boat and they hand baby Mo to him and say, get off, like take her with you. And the end of the season.
But they've got to get their commemorative Padre t-shirts.
Yeah, or coffee mugs.
Yes, and hats.
And and then like the like little fleece blanket with Padre written on it.
That's a good call. Or a polo shirt with a little logo. Okay, well, we've got one more from Emma from the UK, who says, on the whole, enjoyed this episode, some new ideas, new places, and new people. Finally.
Yep. All righty. Well, that was all of our listeners' feedback. Thank you, everyone, for all your good thoughts. And hopefully, you know, stick with us. We've got a lot of, you know, we've got the new show and The Walking Dead back. And then we'll have a season 8 of Fear. So join us at that time. Brian, did you want to take this moment now and give any of your thoughts and opine about any of what's been said tonight?
I guess I should start with the last episode, I didn't get to say anything about that episode. And I kind of said about part of it, this episode, I just can't believe that they didn't. It's like, you know, you've got to play the, and if you don't do it, I'm gonna make sure that you do.
And you blew it! You blew it! You blew it! And you blew it! You had it on and you blew it!
Yes. So that's what I would say to the showrunners. You blew it. They could have at least had an Alicia Devon Carey and Kim Dickens scene in there, and maybe even like throw Coleman Domingo in there and Ruben Blades for good measure. Why not? Why not have the four of them there? One scene from season one, and nope, they didn't. So I don't know if that was contractual or what. I noticed that Alicia Devon Carey's name was still on the credits this week. So I don't know. I was kind of surprised that there wasn't some kind of scene, even if it had been just over the walkie-talkie, just having there being some conversation between mother and daughter. You know, that's the main thing I would say. I mean, I had pretty much an idea from last week that that's where we're going, and I wasn't surprised. I thought that I was really hoping to talk about last week during last week, but I just couldn't get through the entire episode in time for the podcast. But I knew what I wanted to say almost right away. I just wanted to make sure that the episode finished in the way that I thought it did before I said anything about it, because otherwise I'd be an idiot. but I mean, I knew it was going the way it was going, like right from the first 2 minutes of the episode. I knew that kid was her, and I knew that she was Amina, right? You could tell by the stupid little helmet on her head that she was a bird. I mean, it was pretty much obvious to me. And, I think I told you guys that, you know, I would have had the highest mark highest rating of the episode, but it still would have passed below my minimum to podcast standard of 7. So it would have been in the 6s somewhere. I was disappointed that this is where we were ending with the character. I was disappointed by their whole stupid, like, oh, let's say goodbye to everyone one at a time. Right. You know, I was disappointed by the right. How they it just seemed to be, you know, just a standalone episode that was I thought it was an interesting portrayal for her to undergo, like, you know, it was an interesting acting set of scenes for her to do. So I'm sure she enjoyed it, or, you know, thought highly of it on that end, but I just thought it was a stupid way to end her character, you know. Doing it alone, you know, going into the tower, like, why would she do that? Why would she be, going to the tower at all? If she's a zombie, like, let's just say that she's a zombie and get it over with. Don't put this, like, don't make it oblivious. What's the word I'm looking for? Just say it, you know, just make it obvious one way or the other. Just don't do any wiggle room. It's like, you know, come off from a side and pick one, you know, come off the fence. And that's what I got out of that episode. And I was kind of disappointed in that regard. And I don't know what else to say. Just it could have been a lot more. I know you guys hated it a lot. I know everyone else hated it. And my reaction last week when I was listening to the podcast was, I didn't hate this as much as everybody else did, but I certainly didn't like it as that much either. So I guess it was just a little more forgiving of it, but only a little.
Yeah.
It's... And as far as this week, you know, when I first came in, I said, I don't know what I think of this episode yet. And, you know, listening to us discuss it, I still don't know what I would say about this episode. I mean, was it good? Did I enjoy it? Yes. I don't get why they put her on this particular journey. Let's make the character exactly the opposite of what she was, and then make her come back. And, you know, just like, I don't understand. I thought Padre was supposed to be a good place. Why is it suddenly a bad place now? You know, why can't we have nice things, LT?
Exactly.
Why can't we have nice places? You know, I guess my rating would be 6.5. Why can't we have nice places? or the what's the name of that? Invasion of the Baby Snatchers. That's it. I was trying to remember what the title is of that, of that 70s/50s movie. Yeah, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So it's Invasion of the Baby Snatchers. Yep. I guess my awesome sauce would be that we're getting to see Madison again. It felt good to see her again. The bad part about it, and my weak sauce would be that I'm seeing her without the context of her kids. And even people like Victor, and to a lesser extent, June, who at that time, I guess, did she even know June's real name, or was June found out to be June after that?
After?
I don't think, I was going to say, I don't think they knew June's name until much later in season 4.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder what Madison was doing during that hurricane.
Yeah, that's why I put the fire out.
Yeah. And of course, I guess she knew about the nuclear missile in Galveston. She even knew where it happened. So I guess they're finally, you know, far away enough that they're away from the nuclear stuff, and it's not going to be a part of that, which brings back to something that Emma and I think Mike and LT and I and you, Kyle, I'm sure, everyone that has been listening to us all season would say, why not just walk away? And if not, walk away. Why not just get in a boat and row away? Well, yeah. Yes, exactly. The answer is get to Louisiana, where there's no more radioactive fallout. We now know for sure that it is possible to do. So
no sepia filters.
No more sepia filters.
Yep. Nope.
We're back to regular true Technicolor.
Yeah. Beyond that, I don't know. We've never seen these two act together. This is a duo that we suspected would act together and yet never did. So I mean, it was good to finally see those two together acting. 4 years in the making, I guess. So I guess on that part, I'm happy about it. My weak part about it is I kind of already said, but it's like, where is everyone else? And what are we talking about? Like, you know, the Riggs Murtaugh, you know, version of The Walking Dead at this point, or Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah.
You know, and which version of Starsky and Hutch, the action or the comedy version? You know, do they have the swanky Ford Gran Torino, or do they have, I don't know what kind of car the guys had in the movie, but
swanky Gran Torino.
Was it? Okay. All I know is my dad had a Gran Torino, and it didn't look so swanky. It was a big station wagon. So, where did that come from? Anyway.
What is this bizarre segue?
Yes. In fact, and of course, before I say that, I say,
some money.
Well, at the end of the day, it's always about the money.
Yes.
Some money.
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
Anyway.
All right. Well, is that all you had to share of this episode?
I'm kind of going about this one. I can't really see everyone's notes, so I can't riff off of you guys or riff off of the listeners. Apologize for that, but I did want to make sure to get in here. This was a little late in joining. So I guess it'll be a while before our next episode, though. And thanks to those of you that have been listening to us. It's been a pretty long run for the three of us to do this podcast. And, you know, I took a big break during a lot of it, but especially with these two guys for, you know, being there every week and, you know, especially LT, because LT was probably there all weeks. So I don't know, maybe he has been or maybe not, but probably of all of us, with Kyle missing once in a while and me missing a big chunk, probably LT's done the most episodes of the bunch.
Yeah, I would say that. 'Cause LT's the best.
Does that mean I get to apply for hazardous duty pay now?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, and before you got here, Kyle and I were conspiring. And since this is episode 99, we've conducted and plotted amongst ourselves, and we have concocted an evil plan for episode 100.
Oh, okay. I will be happy to hear what you have in mind. We can talk about that after.
Yep. All right. Well,
you know what it's time for, Kyle?
It is time for news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
Truer words have never been spoke. All right, well, we've got our ratings this week for Fear the Walking Dead. It's showing that Season 7, Episode 16, got a 0.11 with the 18-49 with 710,000 viewers. It got a 0.21 in the 25-54 and a 0.46 with the 50+. Now, compare that. It is down 0.04 from December's mid-season finale. However, looking at the ratings from Season 7, Episode 15, it got a 0.08 in the 18-49 with 598,000 viewers. So in the prime demographic, it's up. It got a 0.15 in the 25-54 and a 0.42 in the 50+. So no matter what we thought of the season finale, it's up this week.
Yes, it's up.
Which up ratings are good. And because in the tradition of Fear the Walking Dead, we actually got a Talking Dead this week. So Talking Dead this week got a 0.05 in the 18-49 with 327,000 viewers. Now let's compare that to the last time we had a Talking Dead, which was Season 7, Episode 9. And Talking Dead came in at a 0.03 in the 18-49 with 150,000 viewers. So I think it's safe to say that when you run Talking Dead directly after the episode, the ratings are substantially higher. I wish they would have been higher than they were, because it was really a good episode of Talking Dead. And I can't remember her name, but it was a Luciana, Madison, and one of the showrunners as guests. And he came to me. So it was Danae Guerrero, Kim Dickens, and one of the two showrunner guys.
Okay.
Andrew Shannon.
Ian Goldberg?
It was Ian Goldberg.
I never got to see it, but.
You really should. It was a good episode. It was nice to for them to chat with Kim Dickens. She had a lot of nice things to say. Also, I enjoyed hearing Danae's take on Luciana this season. She actually had some fairly positive things to say. So, I mean, it was good. And they did manage to weasel a few things out of Ian about next season.
I'll have to check that out. I wanted to watch it. I just didn't have time when I did my rewatch, but
well,
I knew
you need to watch it.
Yep.
So, moving on to, wow, I just took a look at that.
Oh, you're talking about the parrots.
I am talking about the parrots. Ladies and gentlemen, we have had something happen that I've been waiting for God, three seasons. This week, in the 28 May to 3 June parrots for the United States TV demand versus market average, Stranger Things is on top with a stunning 210.1 times the average demand expression for a show.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That is over two times more than the previous high score that I recall for what is now the number two show, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, and it's worth saying that the Stranger Things last week, if you look at the chart, Stranger Things were actually at... the number was...
Stranger Things was at number one last week.
Right.
But it was at 101.2.
Yeah, like...
Right. So it more than doubled this week over last week, which is just... It's mind-boggling how much of a change. I didn't even know that it had been released this week until I saw this. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And, you know, for what it's worth, I watched the first season of Stranger Things. I think I watched the second season, too. So I think the first two seasons. And I haven't gone back to it. There's no particular reason. Just every reason why any show that I really love, I don't get back to. Podcasting. That's why. So, so I'll eventually get back to it. Someone has to bug me to watch something. So that's usually how I get started watching it. But anyway, yeah, it's been a long time coming for that show to get back. So
get back, yeah, for sure. And they they split it up to what, 7 episodes. Now, and then in July 1st or 4th or whatever it was, they released the last two episodes. So they split it up, which is kind of annoying, but then the season or episode or 7 is like an hour and 45 minutes or something like that. So it's like a super long episode, and it's like a mid-season finale for a streaming show, because it makes you was all like, I want to know more. I have to wait.
Yeah.
One thing that's interesting on this is like The Boys is not on the list, but I don't know if that's on the different rate. Like,
it might be on the digitals.
The digitals, yeah. Okay.
The Boys,
I'd have to see if I can, hold on a second, got the parrots and the digitals. The boys is at number 7 in the digitals. It's like the Strange New Worlds is at number 5. So Stranger Things is number 1. The Mandalorian number 2. Obi-Wan number 3, which, and then our Flagging Staff number 4, and Strange New Worlds number 5. So Strange New Worlds is actually doing pretty well in there still after 5 weeks. Better than The Boys, actually. So.
Nice. So and that's the thing, boy. You know, The Boys, they, that's the thing. It's like, it's this whole difference of like, okay, you know, like Netflix shows typically will come out and like, oh, here's the whole entire season. And so you can binge it for as fast as you want. And then The Boys and similar shows are like, you know, Star Trek, Strange New Worlds. It's like, oh no, but these are still released one episode a week. So it's kind of,
yeah,
you know,
it depends like, on what, you know, what the provider does. Like I think even some of the shows on Paramount Plus, they release them, you know, one episode per week. But, you know, Hulu, I think, still does it one episode per week, and Disney Plus does it one episode per week. But it's not cut and dried all the way around either. So,
Right. I hope they do get to that, because that's kind of like, it's much easier to podcast or talk about stuff when you're not like, oh, here's like the whole entire season, and then you're trying to cover it. I know how tricky that can be. So I just like, I'd rather have the time to sit there and get excited and think about things. And
I don't know. Like it's worth saying that, if you get it all at once, you have some control over how quickly you want to cover it all. Because you know, like there's a lot of podcasts that will cover a show like Stranger Things that you get all at once, and they'll still just do one episode a week, you know, whereas this show and the shows that we do are all one episode a week. And so people expect one episode a week, and when they don't get one episode a week, they get upset, or they start wondering, you know, if you've pod faded or whatever. And, you know, that's been a problem that we've had this particular season, not just for Star Trek, which has been affected by it a lot with all of my stuff, but, you know, the Walking Dead side has as well, with, you know, all the stuff that you've had going on and I've had going on as well. And LT, you've been our rock, but, you know, we both had some stuff that has made it difficult to podcast from time to time. And, you know, it's just, we're not getting paid for this stuff. So, it's gotta sometimes wait, you know,
as much
as we want to do it right away and get it out right away. This past weekend, LT and I recorded an episode with, Wes, he normally does our news on the Star Trek podcast. Well, I released that episode. Basically, I listened to it briefly once and released it. I didn't make a single edit out of it except to remove the beginning of it. There's a big, big, big static part. I just left it in. Sorry. Sorry, Patreon, but there's going to be a part that's going to just, you're going to hate me, but you know, I did it just to make sure everyone could get it, but
yeah,
it's been hard, doing all that stuff. So, you know, it's just, I don't know how we got on this, road. I steered it there, but yeah, I know. Just saying though, I don't know which I prefer. That's what all this was to say, is which one do I prefer? I don't know. I kind of wouldn't mind the idea that we get all of the episodes at once because no one would expect it to be podcasted all at once.
No, yeah, no, true. Then I maybe I'm like looking at it as like not necessarily like on the podcasting side of things, but as of like a viewer kind of side of things, or like, you know, there are some things where it's nice to be able to binge because you can just take it all at your own time and it's all there and you don't have to sit there and wait. I don't know. It's like, cause I guess this depends on the number of episodes, what kind of like how they are writing the story. Cause like, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show or not, or I was talking to somebody, but like we're re-binging 24 and being able to binge it. It's like, we're starting to look at it and be like, oh my gosh, this is kind of horrible. Like, it's just like, it's not good what I remember.
Oh, yeah.
And just, it is, it's like, it just, it's so different being able to watch it as fast as you want instead of having to wait week to week, you know, week. And I feel like I'm like, oh yeah, I remember being so excited about this and like, this is so stupid. Like, this makes no sense. And maybe the age of the show, maybe it's just not holding up, but still it was like being able to like do that and binge it to me is like affecting it a lot.
Well, yeah, I think with that show in particular, I think that having to wait a week may have smoothed out some of the rough spots. When you see it all together, it kind of is more obvious.
Yeah. And yeah, it carries on quicker because you're like, it's fresh in your mind. All right.
We need to talk about the news.
Yes. I put a bunch of the stuff. I'm skipping the middle one because I posted that on the Facebook page. But so the news coming out is like, so Tales of the Walking Dead. No. The Walking Dead Season 11 Part 3. The release date has not been announced or anything like that. But now that we've gotten news about the Tales coming out this summer, it's seeming very much that this is probably going to be, I think you even mentioned it to LT, kind of like your thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's probably going to be September, October, probably more like October. That is when Season 11, Part 3 of The Walking Dead will return. And I feel like that's going to be consistent to back the way it used to be. You know, we would get those episodes, like the new Walking Dead around October.
Yep.
And then get through, like, you know, until December, whatever, have the little break. And then that's when Fear would show up. And then February or whatever would be the rest of Walking Dead. But on that news, it has finally been announced that Tales of the Walking Dead is going to be released on AMC Plus on August 14th, prior to the airing on the AMC network at 9 p.m. So Tales of the Walking Dead is coming out August 14th. So that's just going to be like, what, 2.5 months away?
Yep.
And then we're going to start getting that. So that's finally good news. I was wondering, you know, they obviously, we knew that they had finished filming it all. And so, it won't be, you know, I don't know what we have down the pipeline on Star Trek stuff. Cause I don't know when Lower Decks is supposed to be coming out, but at least we're going to get a break and then some Walking Dead fairly soon.
And something new and unusual that we've never seen before.
Yes. And just the stuff that I've seen, I pulled this stuff from Twitter, but it's like when it got announced, they haven't released any new trailers or anything. They released photos and there's more of kind of I think they announced who the cast members, like the actors to the name of their character. But I mean, it was very vague. So I'm sure we'll get a little bit, like they'll probably announce more stuff or we'll get a trailer as it comes closer. I know Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I guess, had tweeted or something about how excited he is about Isle and that's gonna, you know, they haven't started filming it yet, I don't believe. Or did they start? I think that's almost like ready to roll, but that's not gonna come out until next year. So I don't know. It's just kind of like have a little bit of time to have a little bit of a relax from what we just saw with Fear to I'm excited about Tales and I'm excited to cover it because I think it's going to actually be something that's just going to be refreshing, brings us back to the beginnings of, you know, the apocalypse. You know, I know we're going to get some Andrew Moore or why did I just forget her name? Alpha, like, you know, basically her beginings, I guess, her early life, because I think some of the pictures had her with hair. So it's kind of like, well, this is before she turned to Alpha. So yeah, I don't know. Lots of exciting stuff coming down, and I'm sure we'll get more info as the weeks progress. Did you have any tidbits from Talking Dead that, because I mean, obviously they didn't mention or show anything from Tales. They didn't announce the dates, it sounds like.
No, and the trailer they keep showing still has, I can't think of her name now. The one you're complaining about.
Parker Posey.
That's AKA Chompy Neck Girl.
So they're showing the same one.
Yep.
Well, hopefully we get something soon. I know, I'm so sad about that. Anyways. But does she get bit? I don't know.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
All right. Well, T, if there's nothing else to add, you want to tell people how to interact with us?
I do. So we want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at WalkingDeadTTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can send us email. That's WalkingDead@TalkThroughMedia.com. If you want to send us feedback, you can use our feedback form on our webpage. That's TalkThroughMedia.com/feedback. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call area code 216-232-6146. Remember that all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell, and additionally hit that like button. So if you hit the bell, you'll get notified when the new videos drop. And those videos go out to YouTube first before the podcast does.
And to support us, you can like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page. You can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And the best way you can support us is in our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Renee Murray, Dieta Patterson, Guy over there, Lawrence Todd, and me.
Hello.
Kyle McAdams. Remember that Dieta and Renee will be getting an early version of this episode this week. You can also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. And there you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. And as always, remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. All right. Well, what else can be listened to on Talk Through Media, Brian?
Well, LT and I are doing a rotational co-hosty thing with the Star Trek Strange New Worlds Talk Through. Finally have one of the Star Trek podcasts that calls itself the Talk Through. Thanks to LT's suggestion, but was also kind of in my mind as well. So anyway, part of the Talk Through Media podcast. And of course, we're five episodes into that show. And we've got on the regular feed, we've gotten three episodes out. The fourth episode was kind of a nightmare. So getting that one out is going to be not so easy, but I'm going to be working on it in the next couple days. But we also have the fifth episode out for Patreon. So anyway, they've got basically an episode and a half out before everyone else. So always good to say patreon.com/StarTrekTTM. And don't forget about this Patreon, because you get the same kind of things, really access to our episodes. So we're doing we're doing Strange New Worlds. LT and I are also doing Picard, because we got through, I guess, the first half of those, and then we kind of stalled. I believe coming soon after that will be Prodigy, so that'll be Tim and James again covering Star Trek Prodigy. And then probably in the next couple of months, around the same time that we get some kind of flavor of The Walking Dead coming back, Lower Decks will probably be back in, you know, first or second week of August, and we'll start talking about Star Trek Lower Decks, which is, for me, Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks are my two favorite Star Trek shows right now. So, and
I'm excited.
I gotta say that if you had told me that 2 years ago, I would have been shocked. I mean, Strange New Worlds, not so much, but I never thought that I would love Lower Decks as much as I do.
I agree, because I was the same way, where I was like, no, this is going to be horrible.
Instead, it's naked time.
Well, since it is, you know, that means we've got to do the choo-choo dance.
Oh, can't wait for it.
Have they made it the choo-choo-choo dance?
Well, they added that extra chew, and it made all the difference.
Chew, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, next time, Fear the Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 1 is We Don't Know, written by We Don't Know, directed by We Don't Know, and description We Don't Know. But we do know that Tales of the Walking Dead Season 1, Episode 1, it's going to be 6 episodes. We'll start August 14th. Still no information about all the written directors or descriptions yet, but hopefully soon. So we've got a little bit of a break. So until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And I'm Brian.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.